If you wonder why I'm sitting down, it has everything to do with the fact that it hurts to stand up. But I'll be all right. Everybody say, he'll be all right. And raise your hand if you want to know what happened. And I'll put it in letter form, mail it to you tomorrow. No, I could make a long story out of this, but I'll shorten it. You know, the Bible says that even Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. And I am now the most obedient husband that ever lived. Well, other than that, shortening the story again, I was working on a ladder. The ladder fell down and I followed it all the way to the ground and did a number on my ankle. So that was Thursday. It's much better, much, much better. It's still sensitive, but much better. Nothing's broken, praise the Lord. I just need to hobble around for a few more days and I'll be fine. So thank you for your prayers, for your love, for accepting me as your church father. I'm going to give you a sermonette this morning on Father's Day. And then we're going to have another sermonette on water baptism. So we've got two sermonettes coming up. And then we're going to have a water baptism over here. And it's going to be fun. Amen. Going to have a good time this morning. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you that you have taken us this far in the service. And into that point where we're sensing your presence richer and richer every moment. And Lord, we want this service to continue to enrich us in the goodness and the graces of our Savior. Lord, we want to just draw close to you as the Father of Fathers this morning. We pray that all that we do will bless you. All that we do will edify your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to have a very bold man or a very bold woman or a very bold young woman, young man, even a child. But someone be real bold and run up here beside me and give us a short testimony of what your father means to you, your natural father.
My dad, as most of you know, I grew up in this church. I've been here since I was like 9 years old, so many, many years now. And my parents, my biological parents, are not together. They divorced when I was in first grade. And my dad has always lived various places, but far away. So I didn't really have so much as a really close relationship with him. But something that he always taught me and has been really important to me is about hard work and, you know, always trying to do your best. And even though he wasn't physically with my sister and I, he was faithful to us. He always provided for us. He always tried to do what he could for us to help us. And so I guess my biological dad means to me that, you know, hard work and being responsible are so important and doing what you need to do. And also I've had many fathers in this church. I consider like Mauro and Calvin and Ruben, some of these men that have been here for most of my life, they have been like my fathers to me, you know, and filling that part that wasn't there in my physical home. So God has just been so good, and so I just want to say thank you to you guys, and Dad, if you ever hear this, thank you for all that you did, and yeah.
Thank you, Nina. Let's do one more of those. Come running up. What? No one had a father?
My father is awesome, as many fathers are. And he worked every day, a double shift every day, for as long as I can remember. And he was home from the hours of 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and from 12 o'clock at night until 7 o'clock in the morning, for as long as I can remember. And so he really wasn't around that much, but when he was around, you knew that I knew that he was my father. He instilled hard work, determination, and a fact that I, or his sons, I have two older brothers, are only as good as our word. What we say, we need to follow through. What we do, we need to do it. And that's how people know who you truly are is by what you do. He worked 15 hours a day, but when he was home, he was my father. And when he was away, my mom made sure that he knew everything was going on. She would call him at work. She would take us to work, to where he worked, and we would have family things at his work. That might have been weird for him, but we would. We would go there to eat. He was a chef, and so we would go there to eat just to see him. Sometimes we would wait up, me and my brothers would wait up at night just to see him. We'd come home from school, and he was there on his break, and he would ask us how our day was. And I played sports a lot, and I was pretty good at sports, and I did a lot of good things when I was playing sports. And he very rarely was there, very rarely. But I can remember that in each sport I played, the nights that he was there was my senior nights, and it was very special. And Dad, if you're listening, I love you, and nothing that you ever did made me think anything different, and I know that you're always there. And so that's what my father means to me. He was the best influence, whether he was there or not, of how a man should conduct his life, working for his family, loving his family, and sticking to his word. So thank you, Dad.
Amen. Lucy, I'm going to be on the old King James Version, KJV. My newer version of the Bible I usually use was stolen. And that's just such a blessing because it gives me the opportunity to pray that the thief read it, get born again, and become a soul winner. Amen? Praise the Lord. He thinks he's getting away with something, but he's not. God's following him. Hallelujah. Father's Day, 2014. Lord, help it to be a day we'll remember. I'll have to admit, I ran into somewhat of a snag when I first started studying for today's sermon because the Bible does not have a multitude of good father examples to follow. And it kind of surprised me. It's almost like the examples that were given in the Bible was kind of like this father did this way and raised his children that way and this is what you don't do. It's like kind of like a good example and the opposite. Like you receive a good example by getting a bad example. Like, well, don't do that. And I was really kind of taken back by that. I'd never thought of it in that light before. But there are some good examples. Don't get me wrong. Just not to the extent that I really expected. But someone as a father that I really want to zero in on this morning is Abraham. Now, many of you as a child may have learned a little song goes something like this. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. Remember that? Yes. Yeah. If you haven't learned that, well, see us after church. We'll teach it to you. Anyway, but do they do that in Spanish, Brother Hector? They do that little song? Yeah? Okay, thank you. And so you might wonder, well, how can Father Abraham be my father? Well, I think it's worthy of looking at the scripture in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. We have a good indicator here of what's going on. This is not something that's just symbolic. This is a reality, okay? He really is your dad. You go, what? He really is your dad. If you're born again, you do need to be born again. But if you're born again, if Jesus is your Savior, Abraham really is your father. Isn't that cool? Romans 4:16, and I'll read 17 as well. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise, might be sure to all the seed, that's all the children, not to that only which is of the law, or in other words, the Israelites, but to that also, everybody say also, to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the what? Father of us all. Now, Paul the Apostle here, who was half Jew and half Gentile by blood, he was preaching to and teaching the Roman church, who were all Gentiles. And he says, Abraham is the father of us all. Well, you might wonder, well, how so? How can this work? Well, if you go back about a chapter to, let's go to Romans 2, chapter 2. Verse 28 and 29. Because you automatically say, well, Abraham was the father of the Jews. And, you know, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Greek or a German or an Irishman or a Mexican or, a Spaniard or a Portuguese or, you know, African. Well, I got news for you. If you're born again, you're a Jew. You say, how so? Well, it's here in the scripture. Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. Here we have, you wonder what the circumcision of the heart is. That means that the fleshy, carnal junk is being cut off of your heart so that it can be pure. That's enough on circumcision. Amen? But it's a cleansing. It's a cleansing. Hallelujah. And as we're cleansed of heart by the workings of the Lord and by our acceptance of Jesus as our Savior, we become spiritual Jews. And that in itself gives us a place in Abraham as a forefather. Another way to look at it. How many know that Jesus Christ was from Abraham? He came down, you know, lineage by lineage, generation by generation, you know, through the Jewish people. Jesus was like a fruit of Abraham. Yeah, okay. Well, who's Jesus' children? Really, we are. Spiritually speaking, we are. He didn't have biological babies. He had spiritual babies. Jesus had spiritual babies, and we that are born again are spiritual babies of the Lord. We're children of God. And it's God's choice. It wasn't our choice. It wasn't our idea. It was his idea. So that makes it good. It makes it right and totally wonderful. Hallelujah. Where am I? Let's go to chapter 8. We're still in Romans. Romans 8:14. We're looking at these scriptures in light of Father's Day because I want you to know who your fathers are. Father God, of course, number one, numero uno. But we also have spiritual fathers, biblical fathers, Abraham, the principal one. It passes on down to today's church. Your pastors and ministers and shepherds over the flocks of God are fathers. Paul talks about the fathers. He talks about ministers in general. And he says within the ministers, there's not a lot of fathers. You know, some preachers don't really want to be dad. I'm kind of a softy. I like children. So you're all my children. I'm very proud of you. Every one of you, I'd give my life for any one of you. I'd fight for you. I'd spit nails for you. I just really do like you. I love you, children. Anyway, where was I? 8:14, and we're going to read all the way through 17, Lucy. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, this also qualifies you as a child of God. Daddy's your father. Everybody say, Daddy's my father. Daddy's, let's do this over. God is my father. I said, Daddy's my father. God's my father. Oh, okay, let's move on down, 15, 16, and 17. For we've not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Okay, we can say we're adopted by God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father. It's like a personal cry to God. Number 16, the spirit, the Holy Spirit, of course, God's Spirit, himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? Look at somebody and say, you're a child of God. Now in verse 17, if children, then heirs. Ooh, this starts getting good, guys. Are you watching behind me on the board? Then, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And I'll add, with Christ. I mean, think for just a minute. A joint heir. Joint heir. Mitch and all of his brothers are heirs of their father. When he dies, he's going to leave them, you know, $7 million. Don't we wish? And, you know, they will be heirs, recipients of these millions of dollars. You know, why not? Yeah. Maybe he'll win the lottery. Yeah, who knows? Stranger things have happened. But we are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ Jesus has received from his father, we qualify to receive as well. If we're born again, that big if. If you're not born again, you're on the outside of this. You need to be born again into the kingdom of God, receiving spiritually and realistically the Lord as your Savior, being converted to the way of Christ, and you are a child of God, honey. You are a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he gets, you get. His blessing is your blessing. And if you could only see what's out there, you know, 99.9% of our view is this life only. And what is out there and beyond in Christ is just so immense and so awesome and so full of life. We can't begin to conceive it, but it's forever. It's forever. Your sonship with God is a forever thing. Forever and ever and ever. Closer and closer to God and being more and more a part of his life and creative nature. I mean, it's just going to get gooder and gooder. Amen. Praise the Lord that God's my daddy. Now I want you to go to the book of St. John, chapter 1, and let's follow through a little bit more on this Father God thing. Hallelujah. In chapter 1 of St. John, I'm going to look at verses 11 and 12. Make that 12 and 13. You don't mind if I change my mind, do you? It's a father's prerogative. What do we call it? Prerogative? Whatever. Are you there? John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, Jesus, I'm going to put the word Jesus there because it is correct. For as many as received Jesus, to them he, God, gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his, Jesus' name. Okay, this is really awesome. When we receive Jesus, God gives us power to become sons. The word become is important. If you become something, that means you weren't in the first place what you are going to become. Right? And in our case, we were Gentiles in the flesh, so to speak, you know, without God, without promise, without blessing. And God brought us in. He said, I want them and I want these kids in my house. I'm adopting them in. Beyond adoption, I'll let them be born into my house, but letting them be born again. Now I'm legal. Yeah. No illegitimate kids in God's house. We're all legal. Yeah. Amen. Say, I'm a legal child. Oh, you're such a gracious congregation. It's interesting, verse 13. Look at that one, Lucy, verse 13. Okay, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is talking about the born-again experience. We're born by the will of God. This is God's idea. He wants you. I'm sure there are situations, sad situations, in the physical world, where a child is born and maybe father and even mother say, I really want this kid. I don't want this kid. You know, this is an accident. I don't want this kid. You know, maybe whatever. There's all kinds of things you could play with there. But you get the picture. Everyone's not wanted. But I want you to know something. If you're born again, it's by the will of God. You just agreed to it. He willed it. He purposed it. He said, I want this child. And when you agree to it by accepting him, you're automatically accepted by him. God's your daddy, man. That's good news. God's your daddy. Yeah, that's just so cool. Where am I now? This is fun, doing your notes on your knee. Okay, we're in John, right? Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. This is just so much fun. We're going to stay with it. Are you ready? There was a man named man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. We're going to call him Nick, all right? Excuse me while I organize myself. There's a man of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were a very elite religious group in the Jewish nation of Israel. His name was Nick, ruler of the Jews. Ruler, big shot. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, by the way, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, let's stop with that for a minute. You may not realize it, but Nicodemus was very familiar with the term born again. There's nothing new to him. And thereby, he could ask, why do I need to be born again? Because he had already passed all the tests. Let me tell you how this works. First of all, you've probably heard of this. At 12 years of age, the Jewish boys have bar mitzvah. And they are declared to be a man. And in the ceremony of bar mitzvah, the presiding official or priest would say to the boy, You are hereby born again. So Nicodemus says, I got that one. And then when marriage comes along, when the marriage union takes place, the presiding official would say, you know, you've consummated your marriage, and now everybody says, you've been born again. Nicodemus says, well, I've got a good wife. I've been born again in that sense. And then we have another one. When one becomes a rabbi, well, he is a ruler in the Jews. He was a rabbi. And when the rabbi receives his credential, so to speak, and they ordain him, the presiding official or priest would say, You are now born again. He's very familiar with this term. And then when one becomes a lead rabbi or a ruler in the rabbis, as he was, clearly stated here, Again, a ceremony takes place, and he's declared as what? Born again. See, he's familiar. Now, he's covered all the bases on the born again thing. So he's thinking, I'm done it. I'm born again. I don't need another one. Now, there are two more, but not in his case. If a Gentile converts and becomes a Jew, there is a ceremony that takes place, and he is declared born again. Well, he's born a Jew. He didn't have to go from Gentile to Jew. That ceremony doesn't fit in his case, so he doesn't use that one. There is another one, a sixth way. When a man in Israel was crowned king at the ceremony, the priest would say, crowning him as king, you are hereby born again. Well, he was not of that family, that lineage. He knew he would never be king, so he could not be born again in that sense. So of the six qualifications or declarations of being born again, four he had qualified for and fulfilled. Two he did not qualify for and would never see any more of them. And so Jesus says, you need to be born again. And he goes, did the bar mitzvah. I got married. I became a rabbi. I became a ruler of the rabbis. I'm done. I can't be born again. What am I going to do? Get back in my mama's womb? See, his question was legitimate. But it's an interesting thought that he knew the term born again. So Jesus starts bringing him over into the spiritual order of things. He says, you need to be born again in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's where the concept of being born again all started. And from that, we have it today. 2,000 years later, we still use the term in the church, born again, because spiritually, we become children of God, born into His kingdom by accepting Jesus as our Savior. Interesting, isn't it? Everybody say, sure is. Excuse me while I check my notes. Oh, we got to do this. I'm going to run out of time in a hurry. So we may have to do part two next week. I don't know. Go to Genesis 18, 17. That was a long time ago. Are you there? I'm going to be reading, Lucy, I'm going to do Genesis 18, verses 17, 18, and 19. Okay? Now the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, this is what God's saying. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Wow. Now, thinking of Abraham as your daddy, I want you to look at this. In verse 17... Show him again on the board, Lucy. Verse 17. And the Lord said, I shall ask himself a question. Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? You know what I see there? If you'll serve God, fathers, we're talking to fathers today. If you'll serve God, God will not hide from you what he's about to do with your family and your children. He will inform you of your children. That's good parenting, to be informed by God of the future of your children. In verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed of him, serving God will build your family to make it a blessing to many. Fathers, Abraham is our example because he's our father. You got that? He's our example because he's our father. And he here is becoming a mighty nation under the blessing of God through obedience to serving God. Fathers, if we'll serve God, he'll make your family great. And it in turn will become a blessing to other families. Let's do that. We could all use some of that. Number 18 again. Seeing that Abraham... Where am I? No, let's do 19 again. Excuse me, 19 again. God says, I know him, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. How would you like for God to say of you, Dad, I know this dad. He's going to raise his kids right. What an awesome example is Father Abraham. That God would say such a thing of Abraham. I know this man. God's telling all these angels. He's telling the devil. I know this guy. I know Abe. He's going to raise his kids right. Going to run his house right. They're going to do justice and judgment properly. I know this guy. He's going to get it right. What a compliment to Father Abraham. That's the kind of compliment I want. Now, God, you know, God knows, and most of you know that I've failed here and there. Not that you've never failed. Dads, we all miss it once in a while. But let's strive for what's good. Let's strive for the best. And let's look forward by serving God to a compliment from God where God can say of us, I know these guys are going to get it right. They're going to raise their kids right. Fathers, let's raise our kids right. Let's guide our household properly in the ways of God. Amen. Everybody's all for this, right? Now, I'm going to leave some things out here for sake of time because we want to do our water baptism here in a few minutes. But this all falls into the promises of God. We are children of promise. I'm not going to take you to those scriptures right now, but being children of God, we're children of promise. Every promise that was Abraham's is ours. Every promise of God to his children belong to us. And the Bible tells us in the little book of Titus in the New Testament that God cannot lie. You know, we say, God can do anything. Well, he can't lie. You say, well, if he can do anything, why couldn't he lie? Well, there has to be a lie in you in order to bring it out. There are no lies in him, so he can't bring one up. Is that clear enough? Okay. And then going beyond other than Titus, you have the little book of 2 Timothy that talks about God will not deny himself. He won't deny his word. God actually obligates himself to his word. When we do our part and serve God, he's obligated to do his part and bless us. Huh? It's his idea. He obligated himself. He said, I'm going to keep my word. You serve me, I'm going to bless you. Well, you serve God, you're going to get blessed whether you like it or not. Amen. Everybody's happy, right? Okay, now we're going to switch gears here because this is just kind of a little different form of service today. The preacher's preaching, setting down, and la, la, la. But I wanted somebody to rush up here with a testimony of how water baptism blessed your life. We're going to start on that part of the sermon with that. Come on, just rush up here. You that have been water baptized, rush up here and say, tell us how water baptism blessed you. Thought for a minute nobody had been water baptized.
So I was baptized in another church when I was 11, which was my parents' church, which is kind of my family church too. But you guys are definitely my family church. But it blessed me because it's a way of showing that I'm his. And it kind of started the trend of being bold for Christ, even when I was 11. And I was so shy up before then, and then also continued on until basically like 3 years ago. But that was the beginning of being bold for Christ and really like standing up for him. So,
amen. Thank you, dear, for being bold for Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. She got her radiator stabbed yesterday with a piece of aluminum going down the freeway. God made a way and fixed it. Amen. Come on, let's do another one of those. How did water baptism bless your life? I think we need to dunk you all today. How many of you were sprinkled as a baby? Raise your hand. If you were sprinkled as a baby in baptism, okay. That is a form of baptism, but it's not biblical. It's a blessing and it's a sprinkling and you got wet and you had good words said over you, but it's not biblical baptism. Biblical baptism is immersion. You get dunked, okay? And yeah, you can go to heaven either way, but if you follow biblical baptism, you're going to get wet. You know, all the Old Testament people are in heaven, those that served God, and they weren't water baptized. Thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He wasn't water baptized. So if you're not water baptized by immersion, you can still go to heaven. But that it still makes it a rightful order of things to be water baptized by immersion. And each person needs to pray about that, consider it. It may be that even in your later days of life, you just feel like, I need a little something there that I didn't have. Maybe I ought to be immersed. Make me feel better. Well, you need to talk to us about that. But no condemnation. It's between you and God on these things. But following biblical standard is a very good way to go. Tell us, Mitch.
I'll tell you my thing. I have a past, as most people have a past. And
you gonna bring that up?
I'm just saying. And it was for me a way and a symbolic way to wash it away, to wash it myself clean, to say that I'm not dirty anymore. And it was a public, if being in church in front of people is public, a way to say that was the old person, and the old person was washed away, and when that water was drained, it went down the drain, and I'm no longer that person. And when I came up, I was that new person. And that was how it was for me.
Thank you, Mitch. Amen. I like that. The old stuff going down the drain. Next time you sin, go get in the bathtub, take a shower, and watch your sins go down the drain. Well, kind of. Where am I? I wanted to read something out of my trusty Bible dictionary. Uh-huh. If you don't have a Bible dictionary in the back of your Bible, I'm not talking concordance, I'm talking dictionary. They're awesome, full of information. Baptism, biblical baptism, even from before Jesus, was a washing or bathing in water. It was a custom in many countries of antiquity in preparation of sacrificing, praying, or washing sin away. Baptism is the rite or ordinance by which persons are admitted into the church of Christ. It is a public profession of faith in Christ. The symbolic purification or washing of the soul from sin and typifies a regeneration from a life of into a life of righteousness. I thought that was pretty cool. But like Mitch says, it's one of the ways that we symbolically wash our sins away. Now, your sins don't really go down the drain. They stay in your heart till you dump them. You have to ask forgiveness. But once you have asked forgiveness, once you have humbled yourself before the Lord and said, Lord, cleanse me. This is like symbolically doing in the physical realm what you've asked God to do in the spiritual realm. And having the two realms in agreement, physical and spiritual, gives you a better perception of what's taking place in your heart. Boy, a lot of big words there. I want you to go to Matthew 28, please, Lucy. Matthew 28, 18. How many know that Jesus was born, lived, died on the cross, and was risen again? He came back after he was risen from the dead and spent 40 days ministering to the saints. He was seen of many, many people for 40 days before he ascended to the Father, returned into the heavenlies. And he left instructions just before he ascended, went back into the heavenlies. Now, if I was about to ascend unto heaven, maybe on my deathbed or in whatever form, if I was about to leave you forever, so to speak, I would want to share the depth of my heart with you, the most intimate things with you. I'd say, you know, please don't forget to feed the cat. You know, I mean, there's things on your deathbed you got to say to somebody, you know. Everybody's awake, right? Okay, the point is, Jesus summed it up just before his ascension. He summed up the most important part of everything he said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Well, he says it here in Matthew like this. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or age. Jesus' last words before he ascended to the Father. I would call that his most important heartfelt instruction. What he really wanted us to... It's like, if you forget everything else I tried to teach you, I want you to get this. Go to the nations and convert them and get them saved. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are a good scholar and you start reading everything that happened after that throughout the New Testament, a good scholar is going to catch something and get a big question mark that says, wait a minute. In the book of Acts, there's example after example after example of water baptisms, and they baptize them in the name of Jesus. Didn't the disciples get it when he said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And here, are they disobeying Christ by doing it in the name of Jesus? No. Maybe you need to see a couple of scriptures just to settle this once and for all. Look at St. John 14:6. Everybody still here? Still awake? Everybody say, this is a good day. Lucy, I'm going to read chapter 14, verse 6, and then I'm going to go down all the way to verse 11. Are you guys ready? Jesus, I tell you, when Jesus says something, perk up. Listen up. Turn your ears on. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. From here on you've seen it. That's what he said. Verse 8. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough, sufficeth us. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? You following me? Let's go to verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Okay, back up to verse 9. Have I been with you so long a time, and you're saying you haven't seen the Father? Look at the middle of verse 9. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Whoa. Paul, I believe it's in Philippians, said Jesus didn't think it was robbery to call himself equal with God. Whoa, that's pretty heavy, huh? Well, it has to do with the Father-Son relationship where the Father puts the Son into himself. That's cool. And so the disciples learned that when they said Jesus, it was the same as saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because he was the whole picture. Now, to back that statement up, he was the whole picture. Why don't we look at Colossians 1:12? Anybody want to sing while I look up the scripture? Colossians 1:12. Let's do that. Let's do 12 down through 19. Lucy, can you do that? Colossians 1:12 through 19. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and he, the Father, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Boy, that ought to make you shout. Number 14, talking of the dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now he's talking about Jesus, the dear Son, in 13. He gets down to verse 15. Let's look at 15. You can say here, correctly, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. Who's the image of God? What does God look like? How about that? Okay, for the sake of time, I'm going to rush over to Hebrews 1:3. You can be glad I'm skipping some of my notes. We'd be here till 2 o'clock. Everybody say, praise God for... Oh, this is so good. Punch somebody in the ribs and say, this is going to be good. Hebrews 1:1. Lucy, I'm going to read the first three verses of Hebrews 1. Are you ready? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Talking about the Old Testament there. But hath in these, everybody say these last days. That tells us there are a lot of last days. Okay? This was written 2,000 years ago, so we could say it was those last days. Because he's still speaking to us, we can say it's in these last days. But there are a lot of last days. Moses had his last days when he climbed the mountain and laid it all down. Goliath had his last days when David took him out with a rock. Okay? My grandpa had his last days when he was, you know, in the little house that Aunt Mabel lived in. I mean, there are a lot of different last days. He's talking about these last days. He has spoken to us by his Son. That's how we have the Word of God, because God spoke to us to those people by the Son. Now we have it today. Okay, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Jesus is heir of all things. By whom also he made the worlds. Jesus made the worlds, plural. Verse 3. Am I going too fast? Verse 3. Okay, Jesus, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. Who is the express image of God? Jesus is the express image of God. Now, there are a number of other scriptures we could go to if we would take the time. But I want to share with you by these scriptures that the disciples had come to a point in revelation and knowledge of the Word where they knew when they baptized somebody in the name of Jesus, to them that was the whole ball of wax. I mean, the whole picture, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's all wrapped up in Jesus. The Trinity is expressed in Jesus. And so they say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. Or they could say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. To them, it was all the same because they had a revelation of who Jesus represented. Jesus fully represents the Trinity. Fully. But you need that revelation. You need that revelation. If you don't have that revelation that he fully represents the Trinity, then you'll say, well, I just got baptized in Jesus' name only. What happened to the other two? No, no, no. He fully represents the Trinity. Jesus is everything that God wants you to know about himself. Now, to cover all the bases and make sure everybody's happy, even those that don't fully get this, we baptize a little different than some churches. We'll baptize you somewhere along this line. In the name and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're going to wrap all those names up in there so nobody can come to you later and say, you got baptized wrong. Everybody's happy with this. Everybody say, I want to be baptized right. Amen. Well, I want to ask our baptismal candidates to please go in the laundry room over there, as we call it. And Eric and Mitch, you need to go get your shoes off and the billfold out of your pocket because they're going to be dunking these guys. Make sure your watch is waterproof. Peter, put on a little baptism music there when you get back. Hallelujah. Well, are you having a good time today? Now, as is our custom, we like to break the mold and do things a little different. And so we're going to invite each and every person that wants to come up close when they get ready to get in the water. We want you to come up close and bring your camera if you brought a camera. And don't sit way back there and wonder what's going on. Come up here and see what's going on. Amen? Hallelujah. I need somebody with a long arm to lift that screen. Maybe Mitch can do it from the... Did that water ever warm up, Mitch? It was pretty cold this morning. These guys are pretty brave. Give it a hard jerk and turn it loose. That'll work. Hallelujah. By the bathroom door, there is a light switch. Please turn that on. Uh-huh. You're in the light, Eric. Did the water warm up at all, Eric? It's not bad. Well, you were raised at the ocean. You know cold water, so perfect. Yeah, we've got a new heater we've never used before, and we're still learning to use it. So the water may not be quite as warm as we had intended, but these guys are muy macho, right? They can handle this. Amen. Please, now, come on up. Bring your cameras, bring your families, bring the children. The little kids wonder what's going on. Bring them up. Just gather around. This is a family time, family affair. All formality out the window. Let's just come up here and enjoy this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. A little better. Make sure your billfolds are out of your pockets so your $100 bills don't have to be dried later. Hallelujah. Guys, this is wonderful. I sure want more of you up here to see this, especially family members. Come on. Jesse, go stand over there and be the example. Show them they won't get bit if they go up there. You need to get to be where you can take a good picture of this. Amen. This is precious, guys. Precious, 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 precious. Did you know that Jesus himself was baptized in water in the River Jordan? John the Baptist, who was doing the baptizing, he said, Lord, I don't want to baptize you. You need to baptize me. Jesus said, no, let's fulfill all righteousness. You're going to baptize me too. Amen. And the Bible calls him the firstborn of many brethren, the firstborn of the new creation. Jesus went through and did everything we go through and do to be Christians. He set the perfect example. He set the perfect example. Okay, Barbara, do you have those certificates so I can read the names, please? Oh, this is special. Thank you, Jesus. We'll do this alphabetical by the last name. So we're going to do Joseph Moreno Gamboa first. Joseph, would you come down into the water and stand between those two men? And they're going to bring you all the way over to the north side here. Well, that's okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. I had you taking him down the other way, but... You've already got your plan worked out there. Just do what's right for you. Just so you don't bump his head. Don't want to bump his head. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I need two microphones. Can we do that? Reuben, would you help me? You're very agile. Would you take the second microphone and go up there close to those guys? Because I'm going to want you to hold that microphone up to Joseph so he can give us a public declaration of his faith here. Joseph Moreno Gamboa, Hello. In a loud voice, tell us, do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
Is he your Savior?
Yes, he is.
Are you born again?
Yes.
Say it.
I'm born again.
Yeah, say it again.
I'm born again.
One more time.
I'm born again.
Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Joseph, this is a beautiful symbolic ceremony, but it's also an experience. It's not only symbolism. It's following biblical principle and standard. It's doing the right thing. And we're just going to pray God's blessing on you right now. Mitch and Eric, put your hands on his head. I know they're already wet, but that's all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray your special blessing on Joseph. Lord, he is making a public commitment to serve Christ today. And Lord, help us as parents, both physical and spiritual, to help him do the thing he's committing to. that we will do our part in helping him to serve God. Father, we bless him. We call him blessed of the Lord. We call him a child of God. We call him a son of the Most High God. We call him, according to biblical standard, we call him a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We call him a man that's going to serve God and make a difference in this world. A man that will preach and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. We bless you, Joseph Moreno Gamboa. And we hear, I go, okay, you guys can go ahead and dunk him. Wait a minute. Joseph, hold your nose so the water won't go up your nose. Hold your nose with your hand. You all right with that? You've breathed water in the pool before. You're all right. Amen. Okay, take a deep breath. Joseph Moreno Gamboa, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Be blessed. Amen. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Amen. Yeah. Now, let him say something else on that microphone. Yeah. Joseph, just say some words, something from your heart.
It's just an honor to get baptized because I've been wanting to do this for such a long time, and I'm finally doing it, and doing it for Christ.
Amen. Beautiful young man. Beautiful young man. Joseph Sr., you did good by him. He's a good-looking young man. Of course, most of the looks came from the mama, but... Okay, now we have Magic DeMaul. That is how to pronounce Magic DeMaul. You like going to the mall? DeMaul? Like going down to the mall? Is that the way they say it? Magic DeMaul Terrell. 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 That is calling Magic. It works for me. Magic came to us some years back as was part of the youth group, and then he went off and did some more stuff, and he's come back home to Jesus and come back home to Faith Ministries, and we just appreciate that. Magic, you're doing the right thing, man. You're doing the right thing. Raising his boys for Jesus. He's got a good woman behind him, helping him. Good neck turning the head. Hallelujah. We love you, Magic.
Love you too.
Father, in Jesus' name, we bless Magic. We thank you for what you've done in his life, for what you're doing in his life. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in his life. Lord, we see a preacher in this man. We see by the Spirit, we see the preacher in him. And we just pray that at the right time and in the right circumstance, the preacher will come out. In Jesus' name, we just call forth by the prophetic word, the word of God, to stir in him and develop him, to stir in his spirit, to develop him, to develop his mind and soul, to be a man of God that can express the views and the points of life about God, that he'll have an understanding of God as his Father, an understanding of Jesus as his Savior, an understanding of how to bring God to the world and to change things for the good. Oh, Magic, we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hereby, in the name and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, Reuben, get that microphone over there. Magic, are you born again?
I am born again.
Yeah. You love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
You're not ashamed of the gospel?
No, I'm not ashamed.
Oh, say it like that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
I'm not ashamed. I love Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Magic. God bless you richly. Amen. Does anybody else want to get in this water while it's... While it's there, we just want to invite you. Go ahead. I know you didn't bring your dry clothes, but it's summertime. You can go home wet. Ladies, gentlemen, girls, boys, anybody want to get in while the water's here? Just come running. Hallelujah. Christopher, you already been baptized? Yeah? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say it. I'm born again. I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed. Amen. Give God a hand. Praise the Lord. All over again. Amen. Barbara, I need you to come up here and help me, darling. I need you to hold this while I sign these baptism certificates. Amen. No. Amen. Signed, sealed, and to be delivered shortly. Well, this is a good day, folks. This is a good day. I look forward to the day where you guys get out there on the street and win so many souls that we need to do water baptism every Sunday.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for Jesus, folks. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for another chance. How many need another chance every once in a while? Amen. Thank God for another chance. I want you to stand to your feet, please. I want you to take somebody by the hand and begin to pray for that person that's next to you. Pray, just pray that that person next to you will fully commit their life to Jesus. That they'll forget religion. That they'll forget the world of sin. And that they will make up their mind that they want to serve God. Just pray that kind of a prayer with your own personal words, the way you would pray it. Say, Lord, help this person to serve you. Help this person to make a lifetime commitment to serve Jesus. A lifetime commitment to do the right thing and to serve the Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for this people that are with us today. I thank you for what they mean to you. I thank you for what they mean to me. Lord, you have given us such lovely, beautiful people. And Lord, they people that serve you, and we just want them to serve you more. They're committed to you, and we want them to be recommitted and deeply committed. Lord, we just want to stay on top of everything that comes this way in this life. We just want to stay on top of things and stay committed and committed and committed. And every day, every moment by every day, that we'll just be committed to Christ. Say no to sin and say yes to Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for being a personal God. For being a personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving us by your own blood. By setting us free by your own blood. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen and amen. Have a great week. We love you. We need you. You are blessed. Go out there and be the devil's worst nightmare.